Hi, friends. This is Dr. Ralph Wilson with Joyful Heart Renewal Ministries. Today, we're looking at Eyewitness to Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, a short story. Let's pray. Open up our hearts to hear your word and to put our trust in you, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. When those Jesus followers began to untie Sarai, our young donkey, they acted just like they owned her. They didn't ask permission. They didn't look around to see if it was all right. They just began to untie her. I had seen these disciples before. Jesus was a popular prophet in those days, and he often stayed in nearby Bethany, just down the road, with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Yes, the Lazarus who had been raised from the dead, that Lazarus. I shouted to my father, "Dad, someone is taking our donkey!" Dad popped out of the house like it was on fire. "Hey, what do you think you're doing?" he yelled. They stopped, startled, but my dad didn't stop until he was 3 inches from the face of the older disciple. "I ask you a question," he shouted in the man's face. "Our master told us it would be all right," he stammered. "Jesus," said the other one. "Jesus said to tell you that he needs it." Dad suddenly relaxed, stepped back, put his hand out in welcome. "Jesus." A smile flickered across his face. "Your teacher is a great man," Dad said after a moment. "I have listened to him for hours. I love what he says about the kingdom of God being right now." Then Dad began to untie our older donkey. "You'll like this one better," he said. "He's used to people and pretty steady. The other's just a youngster. We haven't broken her yet. She'd be a bit frisky, I'd wager." "Jesus specified the younger, unridden donkey," was the response. I don't know why. Dad cracked a big smile and said, "Sure, whatever you say." He untied the colt. "You did right by coming here," he continued. "I told Jesus that whatever I own is his if he needs it. It's my pleasure." He handed the reins to the disciple. "We'll return her right after Jesus is finished," the disciple said. "I'll bring her back myself." I couldn't keep quiet. "Dad," I blurted. "What is it, boy?" "Dad, could I go along? I'll bring the colt back so it won't be any trouble to Jesus or his disciples." "Oh, you'd just be in their way, Jacob." "Please, Dad." "He can come along with us," said the disciple. "We'll keep an eye on him. Maybe he can help quiet the colt." "Okay, but you mind now," said Dad. So we began an adventure I'll remember the rest of my life. Jesus was just outside of town, waiting with his disciples and a whole crowd of pilgrims. When the donkey came into sight, a cheer went up. The disciples brought the donkey to the master. I held the lead rope as Jesus put a small blanket over its back and slid his leg over. As soon as his weight settled on Sarai, she raised her front hoofs off the ground and would have bucked Jesus off if he hadn't patted her and said something low and comforting. She settled down immediately, and even in all that shouting and confusion to follow, she carried him with a kind of quiet majesty. "What's your name, boy?" Jesus asked me. "Jacob, sir," I answered. "Fine colt," he said. "Tell your father thank you. He's a fine man, your father." But with Jesus riding the donkey, the crowd was becoming noisier, and there was no more time for conversation. We started along the road to Jerusalem, which led right through my town of Bethphage. I was leading Sarai, who carried Jesus, followed by hundreds of people. Boy, was I proud. We were used to crowds at Passover. Thousands of those pilgrims would come for the feast and stay in the towns east of the city or camp along the road. The city itself was literally jammed. Now a rabbi in the crowd began citing from memory a prophecy from Zechariah. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion! Shout, daughter of Jerusalem! See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." At the words rejoicing and shouting, the crowd began to stir. But with the mention of the word king, a call went up that was to be a constant cry for the rest of this strange procession. "Hosanna, son of David, save us!" "Hosanna," went up the shout. "Son of David, Hosanna, which means save us, was one of the words from a pilgrim chant that was often heard on our streets during the holidays. And so people began to chant the psalm together. O Lord, Hosanna! O Lord, save us! O Lord, grant us success! Pretty soon, I was shouting it too. O Lord, Hosanna! O Lord, Hosanna! The pilgrims continued to sing as they approached the holy city, as had their fathers and their fathers before them. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God. He has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. The road climbed a slight rise, and suddenly the city of Jerusalem spread out before us in all its beauty, backlit by the western sun, the gold of the temple glimmering in the distance. All this time, I would look back at Jesus when I could, how he was taking this outbreak of applause and adulation. He seemed oblivious to it. Sad is the word that comes to mind. He seemed all alone in the center of this jubilant multitude. The singing and the panorama of the city stirred the people more. Some began to pull foliage from the palms along the way. They waved the branches and shouted, Hosanna! Then they laid the palms down on the road so as to create a thatched carpet for the donkey to ride on. Others threw their cloaks on the road for Jesus to ride over. Hail to the Son of David! They shouted. Hosanna! King from among David's descendants! Messiah is coming, shouted one. Yes, Messiah, shouted another. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The crowd was swelling. Now and again you would hear Lazarus's name shouted out. Just a week before, Lazarus had been dead for 4 whole days, and then Jesus had come and raised him. News of the miracle had crackled like wildfire through our village in Jerusalem and to all the pilgrims as they gathered for the feast. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Yes, Lazarus, another would call. Hosanna, Son of David, the kingdom of God is at hand. The crowds were now overflowing the narrow Jerusalem road and spreading out a few feet on either side of the road onto the steep slope of the Mount of Olives. When we looked across the Kidron Valley to the Golden Gate on the east side of the temple, the crowds were pouring out of it towards us. They were pointing at Jesus and shouting, Lazarus is alive, they would say, Hosanna! And they too began to rip palm fronds off the trees and sing as they surged to meet our procession. Pharisees were in that multitude too. They weren't shouting, but mumbling to one another. They considered this display as bordering on blasphemy. Seeing the growing fervor of the crowds, one yelled to Jesus so all could hear, Teacher, rebuke your disciples! I tell you, Jesus called back, if these people were silent, the very stones would cry out. They fumed at his answer. I could hear them shout to one another, We're getting nowhere, the whole world has gone after him. But the crowd surged by them, and their catcalls were left far behind. Now the road turned, and the city walls seemed to rise above us, so we had to look up to see their heights. Jesus signaled for me to wait for a moment, so I stopped Sarai. The crowd somehow sensed a pause, and a hush of awe seemed to come over them. As I watched Jesus, I began to see tears run down his face and bury themselves in his beard. The teacher was weeping. Jesus was crying. As I listened, I heard him speaking quietly. At first I thought he was talking to his disciples, then I realized he was speaking to the city itself. Quietly, longingly, tearfully, sadly, personally, almost like a broken-hearted father might plead with a rebellious child. If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you, and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. I didn't understand it then. None of us did. But less than 40 years later, the Romans lay siege to the city, pulled it down, and destroyed it, just as Jesus had foretold. But I was just a boy, and it seemed like such a party during that buoyant procession down the hill. What did I know? We met the multitude coming from Jerusalem now, and they flowed around us, making the way ahead nearly impassable. I had to push to make any headway, as the path turned upward from the Kidron Brook to the eastern gate of the temple. The road was packed, and noisy shouts of jubilation and cheers, "Son of David! Hosanna!" The shouts now echoed against the massive stones of the city walls, and across the narrow canyon to the Garden of Gethsemane on the other side. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna! Save us!" We were at the gate now, and Jesus was dismounting. Sarai held still. I looked at Jesus, stared, I guess you might say. Amidst the crowd's fervor, he continued to weep. As the crowd now moved with him into the temple, I could see him still. I waved. Among all the waving hands and palm branches, he didn't wave back. He just nodded. And I could see his lips form the words, "Thank you, Jake." And then he turned and disappeared into the temple. "Thank you, Jesus," I thought. "Thank you." I held Sarai's rope until the crowds had passed and the road was mostly clear. And then slowly I led Sarai up the long grade back to Bethphage. I thought of his tears for me and mine, for my family and my people. And as I walked, I chanted. Step after step, I trudged up the hill. It began as a chant anyway, and ended as a kind of prayer. Hosanna! Son of David, Hosanna, Son of David, Hosanna, save us. Save us indeed. Save us from our sins. Save us from our sins. Amen.